right, so I thought we'd do something a little bit different this week. Usually these episodes focus on a specific place with a specific history. This time I thought we would do something less concrete. So as I've been interviewing people, I've been running into a lot of people who tell me that they are sensitive to the spirit world, or that they've always seen things or had a gift. And I thought we would delve a little bit more into that. So in this episode, I talk with some of my friends who have that sensitivity or that gift, whatever you want to call it.
Have you heard of the four different clairs? So you have clairvoyant, which is the most commonly known one. That's a medium who sees things, and it could be anything from like a symbol or a color or even just like images. So it's usually just like little snippets of things that might relate to something with the message that is trying to be portrayed.
This is my friend Amy. Amy describes herself as a physical medium. I hadn't heard of that, so I asked her to tell me a little bit about it and about some of the experiences she's had with it.
So, and then there's clairsentient, which is what I am, and that is mainly feeling. So it's also known as like a physical medium. So you might feel certain emotions, or you might feel actual physical sensations in your body. So like even you can even feel something touching you, or which is creepy because it's like, what the heck was that?
The other two is
there's clairaudient, which is where you hear things. That has never happened to me. And then there's claircognizant, which is where you just know. And I have claircognizance as well. So where you just know things, and it's like, how in the world did you know that? And how could you possibly know that? Because I've never told you that before. So those are the four clairs. There's more, but those are the four main ones. So I've actually like done, you know, readings, quote unquote readings for people, where they might send me a picture of something, or even of themselves or a person. Or I would just tap into their energy coming through to see if I feel anything. So I have felt different things from like pain in my head to nausea, that's the right word, chest pains. There's been times where I've lost just like all functionality and I couldn't like even move because it was too much. So when I get around a lot of people, I tend to get overloaded with feelings. My anxiety can go real high. So there's the social anxiety aspect, but there's also times where I'll be sitting around people and I just have all these unexplained feelings. But once I get away from that situation, it all just goes away. There's been times where I've gotten around certain people and I got really angry, and I wasn't angry before that. And when I get away from them, I'm not angry anymore. Even sadness. So at the theater, there was a lot of times when we were there where I would just get like really sad all of a sudden for no reason. Yeah. So like I have actually like gone backstage and cried because I was like, I don't know why I'm sad, but something is around and it's sad.
I'm Dory Peacock and this is the Ghost Box. I started to wonder how you tell the difference between feeling a spiritual impression or just having a mood swing. So, of course, I asked Amy.
Well, you just have to take it in context. So there's a difference between being in a situation and it comes on suddenly and then goes away suddenly, and then where it just kind of wavers like back and forth, up and down. So it's more continuous if it's mood swings. But like when it's a clairsentient moment, it's very sudden and isolated. So that's how I've been able to decipher. And I'll have to think about, okay, so what's going on around me right now? What am I experiencing? What am I going through? Is this me or is this something else? So, and usually I can tell the difference. Sometimes I have a hard time.
Amy wasn't always aware of her gift, so I asked her to tell me how she discovered it.
I actually remember this very clearly, like it was yesterday. So, this was when I was in school to become a mental health therapist, and I was doing my internship. And at the same time, I was opening myself up more to like the universe type deal, right? So like astrology, you know. So the first thing I ever had done was a birth chart, and it was wild because it was like spot on about my whole life. It freaked me out. And then over time, I just like started getting into like doing card readings and crystals, and you know, so that all kind of just like slowly but quickly came into my life. And that's when I started getting connected with another medium who would do readings for me and stuff. And one night I was having a situation where I was just suddenly felt really suicidal, and I couldn't understand why. So I messaged my friend who's the medium, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, can you do a reading for me? And I told her what was going on, and she's like, you're a medium. That's what's going on. And that's when she started testing me. So she would send me pictures and ask me questions and stuff, and I was answering them correctly, and I couldn't have known the answers to those. She'd send me a picture of a person, and she'd be like, okay, is this person alive or dead? And I would be like, this person I feel is not alive. And that's when I started experiencing different feelings, like the pain in my chest, or even throat pain or head pain. So that's when I would start picking up on like, how did that person die? So like, I've been able to pick up on someone who's been shot in the head. I've been able to pick up on someone who was stabbed. I picked up on someone. The weird one is picking up on someone who overdosed, because that's a really weird feeling. that's not like an isolated feeling in my body. That's just like kind of an all over, like, I just feel really depressed looking at this person. And I feel like this might have been a suicide. I haven't always been correct, but more times than not, I have. The one that sticks out to me the most is the one that I told you about, where my friend sent me a picture of this piano. And she's like, what do you feel when you look at this? And I'm like, I feel really, really sad and scared looking at this picture. And it felt like this was a piano that somebody was like forced to play. And if they did something wrong, or if they didn't do it, they would be harmed in some way. And it just seemed really dark and scary. So I'm like reading through this, and I'm looking at this picture, and all of a sudden, and I was doing this over message, so I was trying to type, and all of a sudden I couldn't type. And then just like everything just stopped working. I couldn't move, and my eyes started rolling in the back of my head, and I'm trying to type to my friend, like, I don't know what's going on. I can barely type this right now. I feel like I'm gonna pass out. And she's like, okay, we need to like close that channel right now. So it just felt like something took over my body, almost like you could call it a possession, maybe. I guess that's the word that you would use for it. But so we had to like, so that's when we call in like the archangels, and Archangel Michael is the one of protection. And so she worked with me, and I called in Archangel Michael and like gave it a little bit, and then it stopped. And I was like, that really freaked me out.
Okay, hang on. This is the first time I had heard someone mention archangels.
So there are, is it seven different archangels? I feel like seven is the number, but I could be wrong about that. So there's multiple archangels, and they all have a different purpose. So Archangel Michael is the most commonly known one, who is there for protection. God, I used to know him a lot better. And like there's Archangel Gabriel. So like there's an archangel for like love and romance. There's one for protection. there's one for, God, it's been so long since I've like looked at these.
I don't really know a lot about archangels either, so I had to look this one up. There are, in fact, 7 archangels. I tried to find a definitive list of the angels' names, but the number of them, the names, they sort of vary by religious tradition and language. Though Michael and Gabriel do consistently make a lot of lists. Suffice to say, they are high-ranking angels from the Judeo-Christian tradition, and like Amy said, they are guardians and protectors of a sort.
The contact with them is more of asking them to be there, if that makes sense, or asking them to bring forth whatever message you need to know. So it's not more, it's not so much that you talk directly to them, and they talk back. That doesn't typically happen. There was a time that I was getting a Reiki session done, and, there was a point where I was surrounded by Jesus, Archangel Michael, my grandmother who passed away, and then like, oh, my moon goddess, which I met in a meditation once, and then like just like other guides and like passed on family members that were there to just like protect me and tell me like everything's gonna be okay. So it was a pretty wild session. My friend was actually sitting there watching it happen, and she saw at one point this like darkness released out of my body. She saw like this dark mist come out of my body. Yeah.
During a Reiki session?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I didn't see it because I had my eyes closed, but my friend was sitting there who saw it, and she actually has a much stronger connection to the other side than I do. The most important thing when you start reading is to ask, like, the guides and the archangels to protect you through this. Do not allow any unwanted entities or feelings to come in, and let this be, like, solely for this person. So,
I should make it clear here, Amy isn't a professional psychic. She doesn't make a living doing readings. She mostly does them for friends and family. I asked her to tell me about a positive experience she had doing readings.
I think like the most positive experiences I've had is when I've been able to actually help someone. Actually, that reminds me of a story. Same medium friend, because she was working with me for a while, but her dad passed away, and her dad was Native American, lived on a reservation, and she was trying to connect to her dad, but she couldn't connect to him for some reason. So I tapped in, and I was actually able to. And the first thing I saw when I tapped in was like, I saw this like dark field and with like one cabin and then there was just fire everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but this is what I'm seeing in my mind's eye. And she's like, yeah, his reservation was burned down. So I was able to like kind of get her dad's attention in this. And I was able to help him move on, which was cool. So I was able to relay messages back and forth between them, and I was able to help him move on and cross over. The conversation wasn't out loud. Like, I didn't speak it out of my mouth, but like I spoke in my mind to this person, and he spoke back. He's like, tell her I love her so much. I miss her so much. And I don't connect to her because I feel like it would be too much for her right now.
Now, in movies, people with one of the 4 clairs we talked about are depicted as sort of different, odd, special, chosen, but that's not Amy's view of it.
Everyone is actually born with this stuff. Everyone has the potential to tap into it. It all depends on how open you are. So many people won't tap into it in this life. So if you're someone who believes in multiple lives, which I am, it might not be something you tap into until your next life. Like, you've heard of people telling about past life stories where they remember stuff from their past life. So obviously they have lived a past life and they came into this life with stronger abilities.
So I should put a little disclaimer here. If you have any sudden physical pain or emotional shifts you can't explain, see a doctor before you assume you're a medium. There are a lot of medical conditions that can cause similar symptoms. So if you have them, please get a professional to make sure you don't have an underlying condition. Amy also has a couple warnings about tapping into your own psychic abilities or seeking out readings from psychics.
You know, when someone is brand new, tapping into their abilities and stuff like that, they need guidance. Like, to try to do it by yourself, it can be dangerous, especially depending on how strong your abilities are. So, but don't try this at home. Don't try it by yourself. Make sure you have someone who knows what they're doing. It's kind of wild when you have this conversation with someone you've never met before and you're able to tell them things about the person that they're trying to connect with, and they're like, oh my god, you know, it kind of freaks me out sometimes when I'm spot on like that, because I was very skeptical to this stuff until I started experiencing it, because I was like, yeah, no way, these people are scammers. And there are a lot of scammers out there, so be careful about that too. If you decide to get a reading from someone, make sure it's someone you trust first, and then anyone who isn't willing to, like, even give you a sample kind of reading or some kind of, like, proof that they have that ability is probably scamming you.
So Amy experiences the feelings and physical impressions of a spirit she comes in contact with. But she mentioned claircognizance, which finally gave me a word for a phenomenon a lot of people describe to me. It's that feeling of just knowing. A lot of people tell me they don't see an apparition, they don't hear anything with their ears, but they just know there's a presence there. My next guest, Spencer, is one of those people that just knows and just sees. And he's had some fascinating encounters. I'm going to let him take it away on this one.
So I think, well, I'm really lucky with anything that I've experienced, like on a scale of like being scary, everything else has been pretty positive. Like, definitely have seen family members who've passed on, you know, and long before I was born, passed on, like great grandparents, in a similar way where you recognize them, you know, like you just knew someone was there, and and I'd never met my great grandfather, but there was just a day where he was in my house, you know, and I just knew, and it was kind of like out of the corner of my eye, I recognized someone was there, and then just recognized who it was.
When you say you just kind of know that somebody is there, is that because you're seeing an apparition, or is that just a feeling you get, or just a knowledge you have?
It's a little bit of both, and I think it comes from that first instance that I recognized my great-grandfather was in the room. Like, I'd never met him, but I'd heard a lot of stories about him in good ways, and you just know. So sometimes it's seeing someone, it's just so real, you don't doubt it. Like, it's the fact that you think it's real. But other times it's just, you just know, you know. You just know. So maybe it's intuition. It's an innate recognition. I mean, almost like, you know, hearing the footsteps of your family down the hallway. You just know that who that is. You don't have any other information other than a pattern. I was probably 11.
Oh, just like a little kid.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13, 14, and around 15, 16, I was like, I don't like this. And I say I just tuned out is how I describe it. I just tuned out. And then around college, you know, kind of pick back up, just by kind of, again, trying to tune in. But I never tuned in the way I did when I was younger. There was a point when I was younger that it was pretty easy to maybe pick up on things. I never really dialed into it too much. I say that I haven't had anything scary, but my parents' house that they just moved out of, there was weird stuff that happened there, but again, it wasn't anything malevolent, but it was weird. It was just weird. It kind of felt like a bus station or something. People would just come by, and again, you just kind of pick up, you knew someone was there. And that's where, like, talking about, like, I know when I psych myself out, it's like, oh my God, did I hear something? Did I see something? Like, there's just times where, even as recently as when they were moving, I was there alone cleaning after most of their stuff was gone. And my mom had always seen a boy in the house, and I have four younger siblings, and so for a long time she thought that this guy that she saw, this young kid, was maybe friends with my siblings. Until she asked one day, she's like, who's this kid that's hanging out? She's like, he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was alone. So she's always described it as a kid in a white t-shirt and jeans, and he was quiet. And never, again, nothing ever malevolent. And it seemed like things were pretty active when we first moved into that house. And then it kind of died down. But then when they were moving, I swear to God, I was the only one in the house. And out of the corner of my eyes, I was wiping down the kitchen counter. I see just someone moving, you know, and it looked like a kid with a white shirt. And again, it's the thing where it just seems so real. Like, it's not scary. It's not like if someone comes around the corner at you too quick, you don't jump. You sit there and you're wondering, who is that? So that is what I kind of gauge my any kind of, you know, otherworldly encounter with. If I psych myself out, I'm like, oh my God, did I hear something? Did I see something? Then I know there's probably nothing there. But when it's those moments where it's just clear as day that you're not alone, you know, that there's someone there. So other than the kid, there had been a few times it just always seemed like just weird people would kind of come through.
Not living people.
You could just feel, not living people. No, it would just feel like someone just came through. So yeah, this house was fucking weird, right? I started, like, my mom knew that me and my siblings were sensitive, I guess. And I'll say sensitive, even though I don't maybe identify with that. My mom definitely, that's what she would think. And like my younger brother had seen stuff. At one point in that house, he saw, like, he said it was just kind of this really tall guy with a beard that didn't make sense in the house. Like, the guy would talk, but he couldn't understand him.
Like he was speaking a different language.
She never really elaborated if it was a different language. It just, you couldn't understand them. So there was that. There was another time, then there was this guy in a pea coat, I guess is what we call him. And so my mom knew that we were all kind of sensitive, I think she kind of got into it. She thought it was like, in her mind, I guess she thought it was maybe like we were a little more spiritual or something. And I think she kind of wanted to find things because of that. And so I think when she started to kind of dial into things is when we got most of these kind of just unknown people coming through. Like, I think because she was trying to see things, trying to experience what her kids had told her about that.
It maybe attracted.
That, yeah, I think it brought presence. It in. On top of just the fact that maybe there was something with that house. It was a newer house. Like, when we moved in, it was only 15 years old, and no one else had ever lived there. But there was just something kind of strange there. but I just know there were people there. So mom got dialed into it. That's the first person she noticed, the boy, teenage boy. And this, how this had happened is, so like I moved to college and I'd come back, and my mom would be like, oh, do you sense anyone here? And say no. She's like, oh, Eli, this is happening. And she'd tell me about it. And I'm pretty sane. Like I'm pretty sure that just because she would tell me didn't mean that I was just like all of a sudden imagining it, because again, it was just clear as day kind of thing. And then another time I went away, came back, and she asked, I think there's another visitor. I said, well, tell me about it. She says, well, it makes me nervous because I don't like him. He's dark. I was like, what do you mean dark? She's like, I don't know. He looms. And what she described was a man in a pea coat who would just kind of stand. It was a bigger house, so you could stand at the west wall of the dining room, look through this bigger dining room through a foyer and into the front room, you know, and that's probably a good like 50, 60 feet, I don't know. But he'd stand at one end of that and just catch your eye. And then that's probably the most negative thing I've felt, was just the fact that he was there in that house and just kind of like asserting his like dominance in a way, just by like looking, you know. And it didn't feel violent, but it just definitely felt like not appropriate. It felt gross that like this ghost is like staring down my mom. So there was a day that I was sitting on the couch, and in this house there was like a second level loft, and out of the corner of my eye I think I see my brother hanging out up there. He's always so quiet, we always think he's the ghost, but hanging out, and I see out of the corner of my eye, I think I see my brother, and my first thought is like, why the fuck is he wearing a pea coat? Where did he get a pea coat? And I look up, and as I look up, it's definitely a figure of a man, and it just fades away. So that was the first time I saw him after my mom had talked about him. And the strange thing after that was I felt like we were kind of playing a game of cat and mouse. Like I by seeing him and recognizing him, like I could recognize when his energy was in the house or not, or maybe not in the house, but presenting, manifesting, I don't know what you'd call it. So I could just feel like he was like kind of peeping his head in, like I could just feel it, like he was just kind of popping his head in to see if we were still there, or if I was still there specifically, really. And I don't know what it was, but I felt like he was intimidated or he was afraid. I don't know if it was him like kind of maybe bullying women, and then that a man could see him or something. Like there's definitely though just the fact that he was trying to not be seen. It was while I was home for a couple weeks or something, and I could just feel my film pop in, and then I kind of caught myself trying to like find him, look for him. And there was just one day where I felt him pop in, and then just in my mind, I just imagined just kind of grabbing him. Not like physically, but I just felt his energy pop in, and I just locked in, and I said, leave my family alone, leave, and do not come back. And I felt like that scared him. I felt like it really scared him. And I don't know how to explain this other than just intuition or what, but it just became abundantly clear to me that just the fact that I had a physical body was part of why he was so intimidated. That I think there's something for the other side, that if there are people who are stuck and not moving on, I think our physical bodies make us so much more powerful that way, you know, like yeah. More powerful as far as like our ability to affect our environment. We're stable. We exist. We're there. We're a lot. We're tangible. Whereas a lost soul or an energy echo isn't.
Like Amy, Spencer isn't terribly interested in exploiting or exploring his sensitivity.
And anymore, I don't have an interest in it. I think the thing to me too is just recognizing that I've had some really positive experiences and some really interesting experiences. I don't want to know the other side of that coin. You know, I don't want to see anything negative. I don't want to see anything dark. I don't want people on the other side who might need something to try to contact me. Like, not that I don't want to help, but I also just like, you know, it's a little uneasy just knowing that if you couldn't help people, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of what it is just the uncertainty of it. I'd say I kind of dipped my toe in and have seen some interesting things, but I wouldn't ever want to go much further than that just because who knows, you know?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't have the shining. I'm not sensitive. I don't see or feel or just know the spirits of the dead are there. That's part of why this kind of thing is so fascinating to me. Because it's not my experience, I'll always be a little skeptical of it, but I can't dismiss it entirely. So whenever I'm alone, I'll always wonder if I'm really alone or if something's there and I just can't perceive it. For listening. The Ghost Box podcast is written, produced, performed, and all the stuff by me, Dory Peacock, with help from my four-legged production assistant, George Moosington Adams, Esquire, because of course my cat is a lawyer. I want to thank my ghost guests, Amy and Spencer, for sharing their stories with us this episode. Also, you can find the Ghost Box wherever fine podcasts are sold. If you enjoy the show, why not leave us a review on iTunes? If you didn't enjoy the show, please scream your criticisms into a paper bag and bury it in the desert. If you have a ghost story you'd like to share with us, email us at theghostboxpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at ghostboxpod. Also, slide into our DMs. Say hi. Why not, everybody? Thanks again for listening. Stay spooky. I don't see or feel... Alexa, stop! Why did I pick this night to make cookies? With help from my four-legged production assistant, George Moosington Adams, who is rubbing his face on the microphone. Kitty, no! That's enough takes. Moose, anything to add? Are these outtakes charming? Does anyone find these charming? Should I stop doing them? I don't know.